we are talking about unreasonable expectations, I also want to talk about, you know, the part of teachers. Like, I think you addressed it recently also at the conference last September. But of course, you know, expectations on teachers, it goes beyond like the work-related messages that they receive late at night. You know, parents, I think parents these days generally have higher expectations of teachers. You know, they want, I wouldn't say beck and call, but, you know, they really want someone who's there and supporting their child. They want to know, I think. I think they want to know that the teacher is there and always supporting their kid. So, you know, how does this changing dynamic between the parent and teachers and balancing what's at home and in school, how does that take a toll on teachers?
Actually, the role of the teachers and the parents have evolved over time. I mean, if I may just share a simple story or anecdote. Many years ago, I think in our generation, my mother's joke was that if I have to turn up in school, you are in trouble, right? Because don't expect to create trouble for the teachers, right? So I think, and maybe because of the difference in the education level between, say, my mother and the teachers, I think there's a great respect and there's a great trust. I remember I fell down in primary one. I just tripped and fell down, and I had to be brought to the polyclinic and had my chin stitched up with blood on my uniform and sent home. My mother was so apologetic to the teachers for me causing trouble for them. But that was that era. Today, I think the expectations and the partnership is quite different. I think today, on a positive side, most parents are prepared and want to be more involved. And that's why today, when we have parent support group, many parents will genuinely want to come and partner the schools to work with the schools to come up with programs that are suitable for their students. But on the other hand, you will naturally have a minority of parents that do not know the boundaries or expect too much from this partnership. And that's why I say that it is a partnership. It is not a service client mindset where I expect this and you deliver to me. Because no matter what we do in schools, it's only that many hours. 8 hours, 10 hours, whatever it might be. The larger part of time is with the families. And someone reminded me recently that we, as parents, we are all the first teachers of our children. And that partnership must continue. So this is where I think over time we need to set those expectations on what is right and wrong. And we want fellow parents to understand if we are unreasonable in our demands for a teacher, actually, we are unfair to the rest of the students and unfair to the rest of the parents because you are depriving the teacher from spending quality time with the rest of the students who also have their needs. And that's why in handling such very difficult parents, we tend at the MOE level to try and have extra resources at the MOE level to shield the school and the teachers from this direct impact. Otherwise, the teacher is left to handle this. It's very unfair for the teacher, not good for their work-life balance, mental health, and not good for the rest of the students and the rest of the parents. But when you have very positive stories and more of them are coming through the parent support group, then you can see that the teachers in turn are stay encouraged. They know that they are not in this journey. Today, just to bring up our own children is already difficult enough. What more about bringing up children of many other families with so diverse, such diverse needs. And we want to see that partnership. And I think we are making progress to build this partnership. There will always be some negativity, but I think we don't want to let that distract our teachers and parents from the vast majority who wants to build a positive relationship. And it's quite interesting. Many of the new towns like Punggol, where the parents are younger, you see very strong parent support groups whose parents, maybe because of also their work routine, they are much more involved in the schools. They come to schools to run what we call counselling programs, as in what we call ESG programs, to guide the students on their choice of career. They run programs like reading programs and so forth. So I think these are the positive examples. But I must admit that every one negative example takes a disproportionate amount of time from the school leaders and also MOE. I have always joked that one day maybe I should publish one of these, some of these infamous letters and demands from some of these parents. So I thought, better don't do this. Lest it normalize such behaviors. And I think that's the key thing. We don't want to normalize such behavior. We want to affirm the positive and contain the negative.
You mentioned that MOE steps in, you know, to shield the teachers. Is it like a SOP? I mean, can teachers expect that kind of support every time they need to deal with it?
So we have an escalation protocol. Usually, I will want the teachers and the school leaders to be able to manage it because it's important for them to respect the school's authority and to respect the decisions. Because if we keep allowing people to escalate the thing and bypass the school, they will totally not respect the school anymore, and they will keep thinking they will go to the minister. If the minister cannot, they'll go to the prime minister. Prime minister cannot, they'll go to anywhere else, even the media and so forth. And you, I mean, from the media, you know that sometimes people send you all kinds of stories to try and use your to either pressure MOE and so on and so forth. And sometimes behind the scene, we have to tell you the real story, but we can't go and say this story publicly because for the interest of the child. I mean, I have cases whereby the parents were so unreasonable that I felt so tempted that I will go and expose your whole story. But I always consider what will happen to the child if we ever do this. That's why we have always held back on this. So there's a protocol. And there is a care team. And on top of that, some of the very vexatious cases, we have dedicated teams in MOE to try and manage this so that we don't end up, because it's not fair. Not every school is going to be equipped to handle lawyer letters, police reports and things like that. So there are instances whereby MOE or even at the cluster level, we will step in to help the schools to make sure that we don't deprive the rest of the students and the parents from what they rightfully should have because there is this one parent that distracts the rest of us from our core mission to help the rest of the students. So there is a protocol for such things.
I think there's a sense among some teachers that they are afraid that the school leaders don't back them up, I think, in some cases.
I think by now, all my teachers will know my policy on this, and they have heard me spoken about this, and I think they can be confident that we'll be here to back them up. Now, having said that, to be fair, of course, once in a while, our teacher may not be perfect, and we have to counsel our teacher to improve. But on the other hand, I would say most of the time, I have faith and confidence. Vast majority of the time, I will have faith and confidence in how my teachers handle this. And I think we need to role model for our children. So I give you one simple example. There was one group of parents that came to my Meet the People session to badger me to rescore their children's exam. So I say, okay, there is a process. You want to rescore the exam, there is a process. It's a transparent process by another group of teachers that will rescore the exam. Then I told them that, but I'm not in charge of your final score because it depends on the rescoring. And if you want to rescore, you must accept the rescored papers. Then they look at me and say that it means that it will stay the same and go up, right? So I look at them and say, actually, I don't know because you are not asking me as the minister to rescore your paper, right? I have not seen the paper and I'm not going to see the paper. I will leave it to my teachers to do it professionally because there's a process. It can go up, it can stay the same, or it may go down. And then they look at me like, how can this be? And I was like, well, this is the process. So I'm happy to rescore the paper if you demand. But what was a bit more troubling for me in this episode was this. Before they left me, I asked them a simple question. I said, do your children know that you're coming to see the minister to ask for your exam paper to be rescored? I don't think they were very happy with me for asking this question. But I genuinely worry not about the score. I genuinely worry about what the children will learn from this whole episode. When I stumble, somebody will bail me out, or somebody will be blamed and be responsible, or is it that even to the best of my ability, if I stumble, I will pick myself up and I will try again. I think there are things that we want our children to learn. Of course, we want a fair, transparent, accountable system. No doubt about that. But sometimes whenever our children stumble and we are too quick to demand rectification, solutions, sometimes I just think that we may not be role modeling them the correct values and attitudes in life. Because I'm just wondering, in the minds of the child, he or she may feel that he has been unfairly scored. But for he or she to know that the parents will go and demand this from MOE or the minister even, I think it sends a different message to what the child will remember and bring home. And I'm not sure that is always positive.